third presentation, which is called Catholic Mysticism Infused into Society. We had studied the Catholic mysticism with some of the famous mystics and the emerging church, and now we're to see how it has actually penetrated into ordinary society in the United States, here in the United Kingdom, how it is penetrating into society and across the world. And it is startling when we see just how successful they have been. What had been a counterculture before, what was called New Age, we all are cognizant of what the New Age movement was. It was counterculture, whereby there was an attempt to reach the spiritual union with God and with spiritual things. New Age was always counterculture, and it was on the periphery of culture. Its New Age thinking has now become part of everyday thinking. So the Catholic mysticism, as it is marketed by the emerging church, has come into everyday life in many facets of everyday life that we may totally not be aware of, so we've got to be cognizant of. Many of the self-help programs that we find now are mystical. Many of the medical programs that we find in ordinary medicine and in alternative medicine, of what's called holistic medicine, are meditational. Many of the people studying or trying to relax and do yoga will find that they go from that into mystical experiences. Many of the programs which churches develop along the lines of psychological helps and methods are in actual fact mystical ways. And how necessary it is in our churches that we stick to sola scriptura, that the Bible only is sufficient, and it's sufficient for sanctification as it is for salvation. And where a church allows psychological helps or pastoral counseling that is based on so-called psychology, it opens the way into the mystical techniques of Rome and of the emerging church. And this is the ways in which churches that were before were biblical, that because of their counseling staff or the assistant pastor going into psychology, and then it ends up in mysticism or some sort of way in which people can be helped, and or so-called help. There was a feature article on Newsweek. I'm sure you're conscious of Newsweek, like Time Magazine and Newsweek are not only in America, but they're across the world. Newsweek magazine in September 2005 featured an article on spirituality in America, and actually wasn't just America as such, but it was worldwide spirituality. It was on the cover and the feature article of Newsweek. And it stated, quotation, "Americans are looking for personal ecstatic experiences of God. Father Thomas Keating, the abbot of St. Joseph's Abbey, couldn't help noticing the attraction that the exotic practices, religious practices of the East, held for many young Roman Catholics. To him, as a Trappist monk, meditation was second nature. He invited the great Zen master, Roshi Zakaki, to lead retreats at the abbey." End of quotation. And then for 20 pages, this secular magazine goes on to explain just how Catholic mysticism has penetrated society. The same priest, Thomas Keating, writes, "In the mystical life, one passes from one layer to the next in an inward, downward journey to the core of personality, where dwells the great mystery called God. This never-ending journey, which is recognizable in the mysticism of all the great religions. It is a journey towards union, because the consciousness gradually expands and integrates data from the so-called unconscious, while the personality is absorbed into the great mystery of God." He talks about your personality being absorbed into the mystery called God. The great mystery called God. This is where these sort of teachings lead, that they see human personality as part of the mystery of God. So they identify God and man. Another Catholic monk, Basil Pennington, is a major proponent of this type of Gnostic experiences. He writes, quotation, "In the course of the years, sitting in silent prayer, beyond where words can interfere, men and women of many diverse traditions have come together. In that deeper place of oneness is experienced that gives assurance and heart to our feeble ecumenical efforts and the interreligious dialogues. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi has said that if 1% of the people would meditate, we would have peace. Jesus spoke of the leaven that would leaven the whole." End of quotation. And so he sees the coming together of religions because of meditation and the inner experiences that people have, so that they can dialogue together. And it is amazing that this Catholic monk, you know, talks about the silent meditation where we achieve oneness, and he talks about it being the leaven by which the whole society becomes leaven, not realizing that Jesus was warning against the leaven. He wasn't advocating the leaven. So it shows his ignorance of scripture. But so we have contemplative prayer, mantra meditation, altered states of consciousness. And as we saw already, this became official at Vatican Council II, and where the second document 2 months after the decree recognizing pagan religions, Gaudium et Spes, recognize a divine element in mankind. And so we have pagan paraphernalia now being marketed as if it were Christian. I already referred you to the conference that is to take place in March in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of the emerging church, where the Catholics are working together with the emerging church. Now, this conference that has been planned is being carefully orchestrated, and on the webpage where you can find details, you will find instructions of how things are to be implemented. I did a search last night on the webpage, and I came up in a Google search with hundreds upon hundreds of people applauding this conference and the ways it has of showing you how to reach this way of having union with God. So it's important to see this webpage, whereby in March, the Catholics will be working more intimately with the emerging church, and just what they say is to be the follow-up on the conference that is to take place next month. It states on the follow-up, quotation, "The post-conference options envisaged is a think tank approach that might lead to new insights and the creation of a space where we can all learn together while conspiring to expand the emerging conversation across the widest possible array of Christian life." They hope to teach the widest possible array of Christian life, to penetrate into Christian life in the widest possible way. And they recommend, one of the big things they recommend is the use of icons, that is, pictures of Christ, using the Greek Orthodox word icons, to have personal intercommunication with God. The actual words for the link where they link you to the use of icons on the web page is the following, exact words telling you about the use of icons. The purpose of icons is first to create reverence in worship, and the second to serve as an existential link between the worshipper and God and bring communion. Icons have been called prayers, hymns, sermons in form and in color. They are the visual gospel. As St. Basil said, what the word transmits through the ear, the painting silently shows through the image. And by these two means, mutually accompanying one another, we receive knowledge of one and the same thing. So they put the icon, the image, be it an image of Jesus, or of Mary, or of some other of the Catholic images and the mystical images that are used, it brings one into a knowledge of God and a union, communion with God. And this is whereby they uphold the making of the divine in artwork. It is really sad that they are being quite successful. It is where the Western society has already been brought down, and European countries in particular, by imagery. Poland and some of the other countries, you know, in Europe and Eastern Europe, have been inundated with images of Christ, particularly through Campus Crusade and the so-called Jesus video, whereby people were to look at Jesus, you know, in his earthly life and then his crucifixion, and then given an invitation which was totally man-made, whereby they were to give their heart and life to Christ at the end of the DVD. This has devastated, you know, Baptist churches and other churches. Some Reformed Baptist churches have been devastated by the work of Campus Crusade and the so-called Jesus video. I heard this from pastors myself when I visited Poland in 2003. I was barred from visiting many churches where I was carded to visit in the year 2000 because Campus Crusade objected to my visiting these Baptist churches because I spoke against icons and idolatry. So it has been quite successful already. The Catholic Church says we are to have icons and we are to venerate them. The Bible says we're not to make the likeness of anything divine, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, 13 to 16, and we're not to make a graven image or to bow down and worship it. That is Exodus 20, 4 and 5. We know that this is God's commandment, but this is where the present day so-called evangelical world is being hit big time with the making of images and the use of icons and visual things to reach God. Now, when you start using these so-called Christian ways, it is followed by many other things. We get such things as Harry Potter. You probably have it here in the States like we have it, or here in the UK like we have in the States. We get Buffy the Vampire Dragon, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and on. So you go to the supermarket and you see these DVDs, you know, for sale in ordinary supermarkets. So it's leading a person into the demonic world, and how commonplace it comes for young people to pick up these DVDs and to pick up MP3s on the internet which support these sort of things. So it's a toxic message that is coming, particularly through the young people, but also it's just infiltrating society. The same Catholic and Emerging Church webpage that is advertising the conference that is to take place next month talks about the Icon Studio, and it says the following: to help your faith community honor and celebrate Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, but providing you with the highest quality icons for your worship space and house of prayer. And so the Icon Studio online, you can order your icons and you can get them on DVDs and you can get messages on CDs and MP3s. I mean, this stuff goes out and it's very easy to obtain. And you know, a lot of young people who grew up on computers and, you know, are very, very cognizant of what's going on the internet can find that you can have an icon and you can see it on a DVD or you can see it on a web page, and you can get into these mystical experiences by just looking at the screen on your computer. So it has really penetrated into everyday life. Another way in which they penetrate into everyday life is another link that the web page gives for this conference, and it talks about group publishing, a company that makes available things that will help your mystical walk with God. And it talks about the Prayer Path, Christ-Centered Labyrinth Experience. Now, walking a labyrinth, you may have seen some people with labyrinths in their yards, and you get labyrinth walks in different places in the United States. I don't know if it's the same here in the United States, in the UK, but labyrinths are walks whereby you're supposed to enter into communion with God by walking a labyrinth. But you can get these labyrinths now on the internet as DVDs and CDs. And it tells you what you are to do as you get on this internet web page and discover that you have a labyrinth. And it says, open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart, encounter God. Participants will journey through the labyrinth guided by a CD that soars with the provocative devotional narration set against a worshipful musical background. 11 stations on their journey will lead them to let go of busyness, hurt, and distractions that can spoil relationships. Center their lives on God and spend time with Him and reach out to the world with Christ's love. And so you can, by an internet web page, have a labyrinth experience. And this is where Tony Jones, that I mentioned already, led a lot of youth. And more youth and people across the world are doing labyrinth walks just by walking a labyrinth with the help of a CD or a DVD on the internet. We have some people who are critiquing these things, and one of them is the Agape Press. It's a web page, and it talks about the research that has been done by different people, a man called Barna, In particular, but others who are researching the effect of the that this is having on youth. And this research comes out with the result that 63% of church-going, supposedly Christian teens believe that Muslims, Buddhists, Christians and Jews and all people pray to the same God, even though they use different names of God. And in critical areas of doctrine like the divinity of Christ, the resurrection and the reality of absolute truth, that the majority of church-going teenagers do not hold to biblical theology. This is the result of these things, that those who've done research find that the majority of the youth in Christian churches can have oftentimes an entirely different theology than the church itself stands for. It is the penetration that has taken place. And if you're a pastor, assistant pastor, or you know a pastor, to really critique what the young people of the church are listening to and what they're doing, because that's where it often begins. The teens who are very cognizant of how to get broadband in connection with the internet at their library or on their own laptop computer, and then to lead others into this mystical world and to have a infection of this poison in a church that may be a Reformed Baptist church, and then find that the youth have been contaminated unknown to the pastoral staff. So this is one of the ways that it penetrates. It's such that we have as it were a Disney world, whereby we have this make-belief type of Christianity is being marketed right across the internet, and it's not just in St. Peter's in Rome or Notre Dame in Paris, but it's Rick Warren and Saddleback Church in California and other so-called churches, emerging churches throughout the world. We have a Disney world of false mysticism that has been marketed. The Anglican theologian and supposedly grace man, he heads up the Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, is originally from an Anglican background, Alan Jones, and he's quite famous in the world, and he is one of the big leaders of the emerging church. And he has brought the effect of the emerging church to bear in other areas that really penetrate society in ways that many of the students for the ministries and pastors are not aware of. Alan Jones has been one of the people that are most effective in bringing this false type of mysticism into everyday life. He's written a book that has been marketed across the world and is quite successful. It's called Reimagining Christianity. Reconnect your spirit without disconnecting your mind. That's the subtitle of the book. And if you do a search for him online, you will find that he has had influences right across the whole world. He is quite well known. In some ways he was as well known as Tony Jones. Alan Jones was quite well known, and he's still there as Dean of the Grace Cathedral. And he has implemented what has been quite successful and looks like it's going to be even more successful as things go on, and many people are totally unaware of this. He endorsed and is one of the instigators behind what is called the United Religions Initiative. It's usually URL. The web page is url.org, where you find the United Religions Initiative. The United Religions Initiative is to bring all type of religions together. It recognizes and accepts Islam, as does the Catholic Church, and its policy is to recognize and bring together churches across the world and religions across the world. It's been highly successful. It has 202 chapters throughout the world, which are called cooperation circles. It has a desire for legal power. If you study their webpage, you will see that they not only require recognition, but they hope to become a religious United Nations, as it were, and to be established in law. If you go on their webpage, uri.org, you will see that they declare this emphatically. Quotation: United Religions Initiative plans a worldwide movement to support freedom of religion and spiritual expression and the rights of all individuals and peoples as set forth in international law. The object is that this should become law. Now, it is really sad to see that Catholic law has become the law of many civil states. I have a DVD on that called Vatican Control Through Civil Law, which is unbelievably real. But to see international law, whereby something is recognized as civil law for a nation, if the United Kingdom becomes part of the European Union fully, and if the charter is accepted, we could have this as part of civil law, that you must recognize Islam and other religions, and that you cannot speak against other religions. It would be that the police come after you, not the Catholic Archbishop, but the police. People seem to be totally unaware of the legal ramifications. I've written an article with Michael Desemlian called The European Union and Catholicism. It's on our webpage. Now, praise God that the Constitution hasn't been accepted, and that the European Union, while it has its parliament in Brussels and on, is not fully operative. And the UK is not using the euro and on, but it looks as if that's the way it could easily go. And you've got to be aware of what's going to be civil law for the United Kingdom. And this is one of the ways in which the Alan Jones hopes to implement it to the United Religions Initiative. So to be very conscious of this, because it is the way in which these sort of mystical things and the acceptance of Islam and the acceptance of hate crimes and not speaking against Islam or homosexuality and not speaking against other religions, that this could become part of civil law in the future. You as pastors and people training for the pastors are to be to protect the coming society and what's going to be civil law in the United Kingdom. Where it all leads is a frightening perspective, because Alan Jones absolutely rejects what is central to true Christianity. He brazenly declares in his book, and I want to quote, where he utterly rejects the gospel message. He says the following: "The church's fixation on the death of Jesus as the universal saving act must end, and the place of the cross must be re-examined in Christian faith. Why? Because of the cult of suffering and the vindictive God behind it." And then he goes on to say, "Penal substitution was the name of this vile doctrine. The substitution of Christ for his people in his death on the cross is called a vile doctrine. And Christianity has to be reimagined so that this vile doctrine is taken out. If we ever saw Satan's signature on something, we see it written all over this declaration by Alan Jones. And this is the leader that, for the most part, goes unchallenged. British roots, even though he's working in the USA, unchallenged, and with huge ramifications in law. I mentioned already Robert Bell, but I want to mention him again because I did not give how he is permeating and penetrating into society. I said that he was the author of Velvet Elvis and the mini film series called Numas. He has said he's rediscovered that Christianity is an Eastern religion and a way of life. He, it is said from the very famous New York Times newspaper, June 16, 2007, is having an effect, and it talks about the new age that is overcoming society with children, particularly the primate. Unsuspectedly, a whole generation has been taught by Robert Bell and led into new age mysticism in what he calls Christian meditation. Now, there are some web pages that will expose these things, very few. One of them is called Elect Exiles. That's the name of the webpage. Elect Exiles. And it blows the whistle and shows what is happening with Robert Bell. It's one of the few web pages that does analyze how successful Bell has been and what he is doing. It states, Robert Bell is currently traveling around the country, that is the USA, delivering a message called The Gods Aren't Angry. Mr. Bell will present an anthology of religion, looking at where humans first got the idea of God, goddesses, and deities, and why people often feel that some god or goddess somewhere is angry and needs to be appeased. And he goes on to explain how God does not need to be appeased, and he, in his tour of the United States, has sold out in every state with the exception up to date of New York. He has 56,000 people downloading his sermons each week, an average of 56,000. People can download MP3s, your sermons, and he has had about an average of 56,000 people downloading his sermons. His mini video or DVDs called Numa, This Deadly Poison, has gone out to 1.1 million people. 1.1 million. And 500,000 copies of his two books have been sold. Robert Bell, again, targeted at youth and targeted through DVDs and, of course, the internet, and then physically these series being sent out sometimes where people can purchase a DVD. But it is quite frightening to see this man having such an influence. A Canadian example is Mike Pershawn from Alberta, Canada. He wrote a treatise called Disciplines, Mystics and the Contemplative Life. He explains, I started using the phrase listening prayer when I talked about my own experiences in meditation. I built myself a private room, a tiny sanctuary in a basement closet filled with books on spiritual disciplines, contemplative prayer. In that space, I lit candles, burnt incense, hung rosaries, and listened to tapes of Benedictine monks. I meditated for hours on words, images, and sounds. I reached the point of being able to achieve alpha brain patterns, a state in which dreams occur while still awake and meditating. He teaches you how you can reach alpha brain patterns. You can reach an euphoria in your spirit whereby you deem that you have touched the divine. This deadly poison is now being permeated by such as Mike Pershon and others in the UK and across the world. Another quite famous leader of the mystical as it penetrates into society is Mark Iaconelli. He's got an Italian name. And he has a work called Ancient Future Youth Ministries. Iaconelli is the director of Youth Ministries and Spirituality at what had been a Presbyterian church. The whole Presbyterian USA has for a long time not only gone liberal but gone mystical. And he has a project which is just simply called The Project. And it is to bring particularly young people to understand silent solitude and contemplative exercise and to lead to their spiritual formation. Now, he's been so successful that newspapers in the United States like the Wall Street Journal and some of the news links like the Knight Rider News Service, CBS Radio, ABC World News Tonight, and other newscasts have spoken about Mark Iaconelli and how successful he has been. So secular news sites have spoken about how successful is this so-called Presbyterian leader in bringing people in touch with God through contemplative prayer. Rick Warren, I suppose you must know the name, is by far the successor to Billy Graham and far more popular than Billy Graham ever was. He has been so successful that he has taken over a large amount of churches. I was invited once to speak at a Reformed Baptist church in Long Island in New York. It was about 2 years later they took on Rick Warren's purpose-driven life, and now they've gone the Rick Warren way. I'm not invited back to that church because it has been taken over by the Rick Warren way of doing things. It is really sad to see how Rick Warren has been successful, not just with ordinary Baptists, but with that particular Baptist church and other Reformed Doctrines of Grace churches. His book, which has sold maybe 19 or 20 million copies, and his internet web pages and his instruction for pastors on how they relate with churches in the United States, the UK, and across the world is frightening. And it's frightening because he endorses emphatically in his book, and I give the exact page numbers on the CD where you have this talk written out word for word. He endorses, for example, Brother Lawrence, the Catholic Brother Lawrence, the famous Catholic mystic, Madame Guyon, the Catholic mystical teacher, St. John of the Cross, and he authenticates Henri Nouwen and approves highly of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He emphatically endorses mysticism. And so we have these things marketed and brought into everyday life, and it is done by people who are highly successful and highly innovative in their outreach. And it is for us as the children of the light be as wise in our doings as the children of darkness. The Lord told us that we are to be as wise as the wicked are wise in their schemes. We are to be wise and we are to understand. We have to understand then who is the enemy and who are the people that are trying to obliterate the reformed doctrines of grace message and to bring in a false message that calls the substitution death of Christ, for example, a vile doctrine, and to bring in ways that are totally satanical and to bring them in ways that are penetrating into medicine, self-help programs, libraries, books, DVDs and CDs, and that are affecting society. And so we have to face these things and to really answer them, that we have to be really conscious of where we stand as people training for the ministry or in ministry, that we are to stand against this evil and to know what is being presented before us. Irrationalism has been substituted for the regeneration by the Holy Spirit and the conviction by the Holy Spirit of sin, righteousness and judgment. And false ecumenism has been substituted for the real fellowship that we have in Christ with one another. And the carnal mind has been an experience that has replaced Scripture. And the achievements of man have taken the place of the absolute perfect life of Christ Jesus. Now we know that God reigns. Alleluia. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and God is sovereign. But the Lord commands us to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And it's for us, preparing for the ministry, for those in ministry, to stand strong against this, so that we can really, really have others aware of what is happening. Now I have other things that I would love to share with you, and on the CD we thought we made enough for each person. If you don't, ask somebody who has a CD to burn a copy of you, but you should have a CD of all the talks. You will find that there are talks there that I'm giving to the pastors on Monday, and I would love you to know of some of those. It's all written out what I'll be addressing, and I'd like you. One of the things I will be doing with the pastors on Monday is a little chart in this tract, Are You Right With God? It's also a two-page chart independent of this tract. I left some of these on the table. This is a comparing of Catholicism with the official teachings of the Bible. And I would urge you to get the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1994, revised in the year 2000. You can find it online on your internet. You can pick up a second-hand copy, usually at thrift stores or at the Catholic Salvation Army or any of the Catholic bookstores. I would urge you to get that. It's necessary to understand Catholicism. I had asked that one of these be put on each seat, that you should have my little testimony. Why I gave this is because it has my personal email address at the back, besides our webpage. I really challenge you to write and research. I have not researched. I know, and I did some research, but I haven't written about Steve Chalk, who is close to the tabernacle here and who is huge in the emerging church. You will find information about him on Emergent UK, that Jason Clark, that webpage. But he needs to be researched. I would love if some of you would write and research on more the UK dangers, and that you would email me what you write. I have a portion on our webpage called the Emerging Church, and I post articles there. I would love to hear from you, and that you would write and do some research and show that there are some Reformed Baptists in London and elsewhere, and that there are people contending for the faith. We get huge traffic on our internet webpage, and I would love to have something that you could write. And I would love even more if, besides writing, you could make an MP3 and that we could put it as an audio. Our messages in MP3 are downloaded across the world. English is a world language. People in Eastern Europe, across the world, listen to our MP3s. We get more downloads in MP3s than in anything else. I would love to have a message that you would record as you would research, and that we could put on our emerging church section. We get huge traffic on that, but I do not have any young students for the ministry researching, and I would long to have. So that is my final challenge to you. I give you my personal email address, which I normally don't give out. The email address on our webpage goes to a man in New York who answers it. I could not answer the amount we get, but that's my personal address. And I would love to communicate with you if you're willing to take up the challenge, so that we could really, really make a stand here in the United Kingdom. And not only know that this nation was a biblical nation, but there is a biblical remnant who are contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. So may God pour forth His grace in our hearts, and may we truly stand for the faith that is ours, to the praise and glory of His name. Thank you. I thank you for coming, and thank you for the great turnout. I thank Dr. Masters for inviting me. I thank the whole organization staff behind all of this, and it has been a great joy and privilege to be with you. Praise God.